studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
We're going to try it again. It's a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We have a special rebroadcast, and it's, my cousin Murphy had a really good time yesterday as we were trying to put on yesterday's show. And with the roundtable today, by the way, I want to get some introductions because in addition to Cliff sitting over there sipping his coffee. Hi, Cliff.
I'm here. I am. Hello. How exciting.
On the other side of the table, we have... our special guest is a talk show producer from KGO. Welcome, Lynn.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Cliff.
Howdy.
Thanks for having me.
You're kind of a long ways away there, girl. What kind of weather you got down there?
It's a little nippy right now, but still sunny.
Yeah? Well, we got sunshine and 31 degrees. It's almost freezing.
Oh, we're a little warmer.
Yeah. The difference between Oregon and California. But anyways, give us a call, 646-721-9887, if you have a question for her, a comment, or would like to just say your opinion on what happened with KGO. We'll get into that, and we got some other issues on the table today, but that's pretty much our main topic. We also wanted to talk a little bit, or touch on the Occupy movement today, and Cliff is still pretty upset about the recent debates, and we'll get to that in a little bit more right after these messages.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with dancing dog cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
And Cliff loves him too because he's over there nibbling on the sample.
I really think, you know, dancing dog cookies and coffee is great. I'm all for it. Hey, why not?
And you can eat them because they are all natural. They're handmade by a couple in Eugene, Oregon. And they're available online at dancingdogcookies.com or available in select stores in Lane County.
You know, I just happened to think, we didn't ask you what the weather's like. You're a long ways away, too. You're up in Portland now. So what's the weather like up there?
Crappy.
Oh, sorry. Here's sunshine and just beautiful weather here. I don't understand that. So
it's cold, windy, miserable.
Hmm.
Portland is always miserable.
Well, yeah, I do know that they're quite a bit different than we are here, so I thought I'd ask, see what's going on.
I don't know, Robin. I'm a Seattle girl, and I spent a lot of time in Portland when I was younger, and I find it to be a beautiful city in terms of the people. They're very warm. The weather might not be perfect, but the people are great.
Well, they seem pretty nice here so far, but I've only been up here for about 4 months or so. So
I find that in Seattle, the people are indifferent. They just can't let you be and do your thing.
Yeah, too many Californians moved up there, right?
No, not really. Actually, the Californians that I've met from up there, you know what, just a stupid little comment, but years ago when I was in the military, I had to go all the way to Germany to meet a person from Tacoma who lived about six blocks from me, and I didn't ever know who they were, but I went to Germany and met them over there, so... It's a small world.
Indeed.
So.
Very small world. Speaking of small world, once again, I want to give out the phone number, 646-721-9887. You can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. You can join us live right now in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. Cliff, do we have the other chat room open or not?
I will in a minute. I just realized that, oh, no, I don't, but I will. I'll get there. It just takes time.
The other chat room, which does not require a special account, which we screwed up and didn't set Lynn up with one for this one. I apologize. we can focus more on just getting on the air. Anyway, that's at caribbeanradio.com, and you can click on the link there for the chat room. So.
Isn't that sexy? Whenever I sign it, it says, welcome. So there, we've got both of them up now at this point. You can talk to us either anywhere you want to. But, you know, again, I would prefer we talk live. I want to talk to you in real life, person. So use the phone number.
Exactly, 646-721-9887. Lynn, you want to give us start out by giving us a little history about what happened?
Well, as you may have heard, 2 weeks ago this coming Thursday, or let me quickly check my calendar, December 1st, all the weekday talk show hosts at KGO Radio were fired, and their producers. The reason given to them was the ratings were falling and that they had decided that they no longer needed their services.
The ratings were falling, huh?
Right. And it's true, since the PPM has become the way that Arbitron takes measurements, and for those of you who don't know, radio commercials are sold by the sales department based on how the station is rated by a service called Arbitron. And until recently, people would keep diaries, and that's how they would determine how many listeners the station had. Then about 3 years ago, I believe they went to personal people meters, where people actually wear something that records what they listen to. The problem with these are numerous in that some people, you know, don't approach them as a fashion accessory, so they don't wear them all the time. Also, because talk radio is different than news and music radio, it doesn't measure the same. Anyway, since the advent of the PPM, KGO's ratings have been steadily going down. However, we still had a substantial part of the market share. This is, I believe, the fifth market in the country.
I know it's a big market. There's no doubt about that.
And KGO's been on the air, I believe, since 1926. We're a 50,000-watt clear channel station. And as many of, you know, the Oregon residents might know, we get in there from sunset to sunrise like gangbusters. We go all the way from Alaska to Central America, east to Texas, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado. You know, we have an amazing reach.
KGO is one of the very few actual clear channel stations still left, because a lot of the stations that were clear channel for a long time, the FCC has loosened that up and let other people come in there. So I know KOMO was a 50,000-watt clear channel station. And when I went to Arizona for a while there, they opened it up and let a station down there go on that frequency. So at daytime, I heard the local station. At nighttime, I heard KOMO.
Yep. Well, there is no one else on 810.
Yeah, yeah. There are two or three of them. There's one in Salt Lake City that's still that way. There are two or three stations that are clear channel. But they're getting so cluttered. Everything is getting so cluttered that it is kind of bad.
Well, unfortunately, that you know, like she said, that there is nothing else on 810, which is a good thing, because I think a lot of people would call and complain. I definitely would be one of them, you know, for whatever good that would do. Because I've been listening to KGO and Ray Taliaferro, oh, my God, most of my life. I mean, I'm 55, and ever since I started doing newspapers, home delivery, I think I was 17, and listening to Ray.
I actually worked with Ray Taliaferro two nights a week.
Ah.
And he and John Rothman, my other weekday host, and Gil Gross, and Gene Burns, and Lloyd Lindsay Young, the weatherman, and a variety of other part-time people were let go.
They even let go of the weatherman, huh?
They did.
My God.
Lloyd Lindsay Young.
We're in trouble now. We can't have weather.
Well, what's funny, too, is that, like you're saying about the new rating system, is that KGO was number one for, what, 29 years? 27 years?
We were number one for a long time. I think, as I recall, it was 30 years under the leadership of a wonderful man named Mickey Luckoff, and programming by Jack Swanson. And, you know, we were the top, I believe we were the top talk radio station in the country with all original programming. Then in September, we were, the sale to Cumulus was finalized. And Cumulus Media has decided they want to change the direction in which we go. And we now are aiming at all news. So during the weekdays, Ron Owens is still on 9 to noon. But the rest of the programming until 1 a.m., I believe, is news. And then 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. is Red Eye Radio. And then news starts again, I believe, at 4. The talk shows are now relegated to the weekends, and I produce talk radio from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday and Sunday for Pat Thurston, a wonderful, you know, progressive woman with a lot to say.
Well, interestingly enough, I can beat you both, of course, because I started listening to KGO as a talk radio station in 1960. So I was down there living in the Bay Area, and talk radio was a really important thing at that time. It was new, basically. I listened to what was an FM station at that time that used to do some interesting things. And it's amazing how radio has changed. With the FM station, they'd have one person on one side of the room and the other person was on the other side of the room because they were playing with the stereo thing all the time. That was, the stereo part was new.
Right, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then again, you also knew Marconi personally.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, nice guy. You got to have some claim to fame, even if it's just being old.
The thing that this represents is a disturbing trend to syndicated radio. No original programming.
You know, that's kind of a thing I've had a bit of a hassle with. We went to several years ago, and I got really upset about it. I don't remember exactly the time. I'm not a historian. But many years ago, we broke up all of the big conglomerates and saying, you know, you can't have that big a company. You've got to break it up into smaller companies or sell off parts of it or things like that. Certain companies that I really liked, Altec Lansing is a big speaker company, or was, and when they broke up Ling Temp Covat, Altec had to be sold. Well, that's all well and good. They sold Altec to the employees, except that the employees didn't know what the hell they were doing, and Altec went under. The Altec that you see on the radio in stores now is a different Altec than it was then, but they broke up all these. Now they're doing this, letting it happen again. I mean, these huge conglomerate radio people just take over everything. Granted, there's a lot of them, but there's not that many, and they just buy up everything and they leave nothing. I'm a firm believer in local radio, except for KGO. But, you know, there's got to be a few big ones out there that go everywhere. But basically, I'm a firm believer in local programming.
Well, unfortunately, when Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act of 1996, he made it possible for a few rich, not even all old, white men to own all the radio stations in this country. And basically, that's what's happened. Not just radio, actually, it's media. Look at Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, yeah. I know.
But there's Cumulus. We're number two. Clear Channel's number one. Entertainment Communications is number three. Citadel was number three, but Cumulus bought us. We're Citadel. And, you know, then there are a few others, but they're nothing compared to the big three.
Well, that's true. The big ones are really, really big. But there are a lot of fairly – we've got Northwest has two or three of them here in the Northwest that are buying up stations and doing the same thing. They're just getting smaller. But the point is, again, they're doing it with the same attitude. They're doing programming that's all emanating from one place, and – you know, you have 14 stations, even the small things, all doing the same thing. So you only have to have one disc jockey or one announcer or one for 14 stations. And that's putting a lot of people out of work. And it's I'm not happy with that because I'm one of the lot of people. But on the same token, it isn't helping get local information out there. You know, if there's a big happening in Cottage Grove, something blows up or something, big news thing happens, we don't know about it because they're programming a network program and they're not even looking at things. There's nobody at the station. And I would like to see that change.
Well, and when radio was originally, you know, made commercial, it was the radio waves, the airwaves belonged to the people. The purpose was to serve their respective community. And when you got a license with the FCC, you used to have to devote a certain number of hours of programming per week to public service, your community. You know, you would have people from the community come in and record an hour during the week, and you'd air it sometimes real early Saturday or Sunday morning, but you would air it, and it allowed people from the community a voice.
Exactly.
That's going away.
Well, the public service part of it is actually been dropped, but they do require certain hours of local programming, but they all do it for a 3 or 4 hour local programming in the morning, And even then it's interspersed with network stuff. So it's a big problem and it is a hassle. And I really am thinking it's going to come to a head someday, but then it may take a long time. But I would really like to see something happen to change all of this, because it is a problem. We're not serving local people nearly well enough as we should, I think.
If you're not hearing your local news, your local events, connecting with local people, I remember years ago doing remotes with you, Cliff, in Everett, Washington.
Yeah.
but it was rich because we were one with the community. Was a two radio station town. Both of them got out and did things. And, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, not so much fun anymore.
Well, I've been hoping to come up with something. That's what I do is look for something like that and to try to make it that way again. So, again, I think there may be, I'm not sure how we can work this around, but they have this low power thing now that's going on in the FM, but it is a non-commercial adventure. We need to come up with something in that type of a scheme, but something where you can make a buck at it at the same time as a commercial station. So that's what I think we need to do. And we need to open up the frequencies, because they're even talking about closing down. They had this space between Channel 6 and Channel 7 on TV band, and they had FM radio stations in there, and they're closing that for something as well. They're making a lot of changes, and it would be nice if we could perhaps raise our voice and let someone hear it.
And speaking of raising our voices, I'd like to encourage the people. We have the three people in the chat room. Welcome. Again, if you're logged in as a guest, unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio does not allow you to comment in the chat room, but you can comment, and Cliff can relay it at carabianradio.com. And again, better yet, you know, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Our special guest today is Lynn Sloan. She's the talk show producer from KGO Radio. So if you have a question or comment that you'd like to say, here's a good opportunity to do it. 646-721-9887. And Lynn, if we hadn't already talked about it already, who are the casualties, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, since Cumulus came into the station, they have had two purges, I guess, is the, you know, I'm trying to be diplomatic there. Peter, I work for KGO Radio, and I like my job, and I am just here to be factual. I'm not really going to pass on too many opinions. So first went the programming management. That would be Jack Swanson. We're also KSFO. Ken Berry was the program manager at KSFO. Their assistant, Pam Halsey. Marty Tattersale, who was, I'm not sure exactly what she did because I worked nights and weekends, so I didn't know a lot of the front and back office people, but I know she had been at KGO a long time, and I know she was very important. Diane Rankin, who had been the assistant to the general manager of the station. And I know there were Jonathan Chu, the marketing manager, who was a fabulous woman, Janet Maglebee. And then Thursday, December 1st, it was Gil Gross, John Rothman, Gene Burns, Ray Taliaferro, their producers. Gil's producer is Sabrina Glassbrook. Gene Burns' producer is Nicole Grieg. I worked with Ray and John, as did Terry Adams. We're both still there because we're weekend producers. And who else did they fire? Lloyd Lindsay Young, who did Wet Weather. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, who we had been broadcasting on our air. You know, he's based in Petaluma. He's brilliant. Bob Brinker, Dr. Bill Wattenberg, Joni Gregans, fitness guru goddess. You know, people who had been on the station for a long time and who had an audience.
Now, has the television KGO-TV been separated from the radio for a long time?
We all used to be Disney. Disney sold us to Citadel before I joined the staff 4 years ago. And we were Citadel until September when we became Cumulus.
So back when Disney owned it, the television station was a part of it?
That's correct. And we are still located in the same building, although at this point, only news and programming are in our 900 Front Street building. Everything else has moved over to the Cumulus mothership.
Ah, I see.
Now, most of the names that you've mentioned, well, of course, since I'm an avid KGO listener, you know, they all sound familiar and, you know, kind of like stars. But the people that have taken over their slots, so to speak, are they all newbies? Or?
Well, I preface this with, I now work weekends, and there's not a lot of, you know, I'm not asking a lot of questions because they're busy trying to make good radio.
Yeah,
there
right.
were some additions made to the staff. Peter Finch, who was at KFOX, see, Cumulus now owns many stations in San Francisco. They own KNBR. They own, gosh, I'll never get the Cal letters right. It's another AM. I just can't remember what it is. Both of those stations are predominantly sports. Then they own KSAN The Bone. They own KFOG. Those are both, you know, rock and roll, slightly different orientations. Then they own KSFO, which is kind of right talk, and KGO, which is left. And I know they have others. I'm just not aware of what they are. But so there's, you know, a substantial amount of redundancy. And I have to say that I don't think it makes sense for them to, you know, have a lot of people doing the same job at different stations. You know, there was some consolidation expected. Mm-hmm. But to blow out radio hosts, I mean, I can't tell you what the hue and cry has been like from our listeners. It's been wild because I answer the phone. So I listen to the screaming and the crying and the carrying on. And I'm not making fun of it. Because what people's overall reaction is it's like they've had a death in their family that they can't go to the funeral.
Well, is there any other station that's picking up the slack? Is there any other station in the Bay Area that is picking up any of the hosts?
Well, there's a little tiny station in Monterey owned by a fellow, a small family. And Dr. Bill Wattenberg is broadcasting there. But they don't have a lot of money, and they don't have the reach that we had, of course, but, you know, they have some. I don't know what else is, you know, I'm sure all the hosts have, you know, they have agents and brokers perhaps looking for something else, but really, I don't know.
Well, it's to me like that with the names that you're talking about, the big names that you're talking about, if one or two of them went to this small station, that they could really accomplish something, because, you know, stations can get bigger and you can make money. And at Monterey, I don't know, that's a little bit away. That's does that get into the Bay Area totally? I mean, into
it gets into the South Bay and it gets into our 1 millivolt contour pretty well. But, you know, believe me, there are other issues.
Oh, yeah.
But one of our former hosts, Len Tillen, why you calling a lawyer? Used to follow the Ron Owens program every weekday, and he was also rebroadcast on weekends. I've spent a few hours with Len. I have infinite respect for him. He's a very good media, you know, radio attorney. Huh. He's very interesting to listen to. I've never turned on his show and not learned something. And he's got, you know, he's a funny guy. I understand that he is ramping up, if not already there, to podcast. You know, his website, I think, is lentillum.com. But I think that one of the options available to my former colleagues is internet broadcasting. It's just so new. And again, you know, a couple people are doing it in a big way, but most people, and I say that aimed at Leo Laporte, he's I've seen his operation. It is extremely impressive. Absolutely awesome. And I think, for example, if someone were to walk in there and say, you know, I'd like to have available this amount of time and could get some of the former KGO hosts there, I think that there's tremendous potential. It's just making it viable economically. You know, how do you monetize it?
Yeah, it's you know, I recognize this this whole thing because, again, referring to the fact that I'm old, but I remember back when FM was a new thing, and we actually went at the radio station that I was at. We went out and bought FM radios, and we gave FM radios away in order to get enough people to actually listen to have an audience.
Yeah, and then they tried to do that with A-Track.
I'm going to jump in here for just a moment and welcome a caller from area code 415. Caller, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering, you know, with the new format that KGO is going through, like let's say from a year from now, when the rating sweeps come up and they see a very massive decline, could Cumulus think, well, maybe we should bring the host back if the hosts are willing to come back?
Well, again, a year from now, who knows if they're even, because they're going to have to do something for that year. They've got to make a living. So would they be willing to come back?
Yeah. Or just, because the KGO was such a unique format, you know, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself and, you know, on behalf of my aunt, you know, who is blind, you know, that was her form of entertainment. And if she wanted to listen to all news, she would turn to KCBS, you know, with KGO. There was more of that interactive platform.
Well, I work weekends with Pat mm-hmm. Thurston and, you know, varying hosts right now because they're trying to determine their lineup. I've been answering the phone since this happened, and I've heard many people express the sentiment that you have. It's not just a personal loss. It's for also the older people in our lives who mm-hmm. are regular radio users. To answer your question, if news doesn't work for Cumulus, would they bring back the former talk show hosts? I would not normally go out on a limb here, but I would say no.
Mm.
Because part of this is an economic move. And, you know, they are entitled to being well paid.
I
don't
agree.
Take any issue with their compensation.
Well, see, it's a little different thing that some people don't understand and realize. One of the things that's happening is they don't replace these people with people. They replace them with a network that's being programmed from some, I don't know where their headquarters are, but they're replacing them with a network.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Say again?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. That's so basically now KGO has joined a group of stations that are all being programmed out of Atlanta. So they aren't replacing these people with anyone. They're just replacing them with a piece of equipment that brings in the signal from somewhere else. And
well, for example, Ray Taliaferro was on live from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Monday through Friday morning. Now it's Red Eye Radio. So they've gone from, Ray used to run his own board, so I'd work with Ray, and it'd be Ray and me in the studio, down the hall, somebody running KSFO syndication. And then, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, the news staff would start coming in, and by 5, we were pretty populated. Now, after news goes off, and they take red eye, there is one person in the control room running the show on each station.
Yeah, so it's economic as well as anything else. They've
absolutely
they're saving huge amounts of money by doing it this way, but it's not doing anything for the general public, for us. That's what I get upset about.
Did that pretty much answer your question, caller?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to KGO.
And thank you for calling.
Anyway, it's a very upsetting situation all the way around, and I get to, you know, we keep pushing the fact, the FCC keeps pushing the fact that you have to serve your local area, but they're allowing people to buy this these stations up. They're allowing people to do all of this and not serve the local area.
So, which begs the question, how do you define serve?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, and just like Lynn was just mentioning, Red Eye Radio, which is a syndicated program and tries to fool themselves or try to fool the audience by with their different intros and making them seem like they're broadcasting live out of Portland and out of San Francisco, and they're not. They're doing some changes too next month because I guess trying to work on their numbers. But it does take the personality out of it, and to me that was one of the KGO's uniquenesses is because it was live. You could call. You knew that when you called KGO, you were calling in to participate with the program and not get the show has been over for about 3 hours now.
Yeah, really.
Right. Well, you know, there were a lot of people who, it's funny, just call to talk to the producers too. Not all of them sane, but you know, especially the overnight producers. One of my girlfriends suggested that I write a book because I really have had some very funny calls.
Oh, yes.
For example, do you want a story?
Sure.
All right. When I first came to work at KGO, I was trained by a wonderful guy named John Daly. Other people, too, but John was kind of the first person who got his hands on me. And he realized very quickly that I was taking this a little too seriously. So he told me about the chicken lady. But he just said, oh, you're going to get a couple wild calls. And he just let it happen because she always called his show. He was Gene Burns' producer. And sure enough, you know, I sat down and I'm taking calls and typing them out on the screen for the host. And this woman calls up and she says, I know who you are. And they're coming for you. And I pull the phone away from my head and point to the phone and make an ugly face and go, do you want to be on the air? And she keeps on. You know, she's got some real paranoid issues. And Daly looks at me and he says, that's Ruby, cluck like a chicken. So, you know, I'm playing the game here. So I start clucking like a chicken. And she goes off. I mean, this woman, I could hear her bouncing off the walls in her room. CIA is going to come and get you, and they're going to take you away, and I'm going to shut down KGO and this and that and on and on and on. So I put the phone down, and I turn and look at him, and I said, okay, what was that? And he said, that's just to remind you not to take yourself too seriously. You don't need to be so polite. And this is supposed to be fun. And, you know, I wanted to work at KGO for a very long time, and the opportunity availed itself at a time when I was in a position to take it. And I was really excited. And I have to tell you, you know, working overnight for almost 4 years is really tough. And I did it because I was working with really, really fabulous people. I still am. My colleagues are incredible people. The talk thing that we did, though, it was like magical.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because radio is kind of an interesting place. Every radio station has that type of calls, and even small stations like here in KNND and in Cottage Grove and in KRKO and Everett. It's not that small a station, but anyway, you always get that kind of calls, and it's really interesting to see the kind of things that happen. But there's never a dull moment in this business. There really isn't, and I'm looking forward to the time when this particular part of talk radio, on the online talk radio, is going to really catch on and do as well. We're doing fairly well with it at this particular point, but we've got a long ways to go. And I don't know how many people. One of the things that's happening that Robin keeps about is the fact we do have instances now where you can actually get the talk radio thing in your car or your truck or on your telephone and that sort of thing, or get the online radio.
And well, I think if the technology changes, so will...
That's it. That's going to make the huge difference as to technology changes. For a long time, it's been very hard to do to hear what we're doing right now, and we still have an audience. So once we've got the thing and making it easier, they're putting out radios that you don't even have to have your computer on. You can get stuff off of the Internet. So there's a lot of technological, get my words out here, changes that are being made, and it's going to make a huge difference to what's going on. And unfortunately, as sad as the situation may be, this may make it happen faster.
Oh, no. I think you're right.
Speaking of making it happen faster, we're already 30 minutes into the program. Cliff, you want to give the selfless promotion?
The selfless promotion? 721. Actually, let's start at the beginning. 646-721-9887. Now, the first thing you need to do is write that down on the front door of your refrigerator in big black letters. 646-721-9887. And when you write that down, that way you'll have it there. You'll always remember it. But you call that number and you can talk to us, really talk to us in person, really right here on your computer. And we'd love to talk to you and love to listen to you, because, you know, and then don't be afraid, by the way, to tell us we're all wrong and that we're stupid and whatever you want. But if you're going to do that, don't be afraid to get it back, because I love to do that. I'd love to discuss.
And we have a variety of guests coming into the chat room today, and you know, I do welcome. And our special guest today is Lynn from who's the talk show producer from KGO Radio. So here's an opportunity to ask her a question about KGO or anything else regarding radio. Just being nice to her. And
I know, Lynn, you don't need to be nice to her.
She
can definitely handle herself. There's no doubt about that. So you can do anything you want to.
Now, wait a minute here.
We're up to it, let me tell you.
Okay. This smart aleck is not going to comment on that, but I will comment. 646-721-9887. Give us a call and ask Lynn a question or make a comment. Share your experiences with KGO Radio and how you feel about what's going on. So here's a good opportunity, 646-721-9887.
I'd be interested in knowing who, if somebody would call in, let us know if they've heard KGO a long ways away. How far away have you heard KGO? Because I know I've heard it everywhere just about. I mean, it's amazing how far away it gets, KGO, 50,000 watts.
You know, with the Internet, we'd get calls on Ray's show, particularly from all over Singapore, Iceland.
Well, you know, we get that. We've had calls from Australia. We've got that. That's good. That's neat. But KGO literally had the reach with their transmitter.
Yeah, no. Central America to Alaska. There's a woman who was calling regularly from Sitka.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who calls from Hawaii, because if you've got your antenna oriented correctly, you can get us in Hawaii.
Yeah, certain stations have certain skiffs. It's interesting that it happens. Even smaller stations, KMO in Tacoma is a 5,000-watt station in Tacoma. And I used to get calls from California all the time. There's a certain area in California that KMO comes in just like it was local. And so we used to get calls from them.
And inversely, in Everett, KFRC used to come in like gangbusters.
Yeah. So it's AM radio was kind of a neat thing, and I don't want to say that was like it's going away. I don't think AM radio is going away, but it is changing, unfortunately.
Well, now, wait a minute. I think Robin might have a different opinion based on our chat yesterday.
And what's that?
Well, of course, then again, you know, techie to techie. But, yeah, new media, technology coming out with 3G, 4G networks and Internet radio, which is becoming more common. And I think that's also why, isn't AM also going to be digitized pretty soon?
Well,
I hope not.
They do have it supposed to be going to happen, but they haven't really put a time limit on it yet. They haven't even actually television, by the way, hasn't even they put the limit on most broadcast stations have to be digital, but there's a lot of the translators and small stations and things like that that haven't made them go digital yet, not until 2015. So this thing is all happening, but it's all happening very slowly, and they've slowed down on the radio thing because there are two or three different systems, and other parts of the world are using a different system than we are. So they haven't made up their mind what they want to do yet. I wouldn't want to hurry them or anything like that. So
now I have a question for Lynn. In the shows that I've listened to, like I say, I'm a talk show junkie.
Mm-hmm.
As also backed up by what we're doing now. But in my opinion, from a listener's side of view, a point of view, because I really don't know that much about the internal workings of KGO, obviously, but it seemed to me like every host was allowed to run the show the way they wanted to do it. Unlike a lot of other stations, you know, you got the 3-minute time limit on the callers, and sometimes you can hear the bell go off in the background, and it just seemed like the hosts themselves had a little bit more freedom.
Absolutely. That's what made us special.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be done. I don't, you know, again, one of the reasons, by the way, that you think that the other stations are putting more controls on it is because it's all one station. I mean, you got 50 stations or 450 stations around the country, but they're all emanating from one place. And so they don't have to impose rules. All that one person can impose the rule, and it's for all 450 stations.
Right. You know, well, that's getting something in the can. You know, it's syndicated.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things I used to love doing or listening to is like when Ray Taliaferro, he knew that every time the calls were slow, all he had to do was mention the beautiful black lady in the sky, and that would get callers, or talk about Ronald Reagan, and that would get callers.
Oh, you know, it's Ray is a master performer. He is, and he is such a stand-up guy. You know, again, I've been suffering for a long time working overnight, but it was worth it to work with Ray.
I can imagine that. I never could conceive of how a station that can get into all 50 states in this country could possibly have a time when there was nobody calling. I mean, how can that be?
Well, wow, you know, it's. There were times, it's interesting because every show has its own feel. It's like there were producers, well, Gil Gross's producer, Gene Burns' producer, Ron Owens' producer, they just do that one show. So you really get into the host's head.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do a good job. And with me, I work with 3 or 4 different hosts, and each person has their own flow, their own rhythm. Like John Rothman, he would usually, his first hour at 10 p.m., he would start talking and do his churn. And occasionally a phone might ring, you know, or two. But generally they'd wait until he was done with his churn.
Oh, there you go.
That's all.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ron Owens. It would be absolutely silent. And I remember when I was, I have functioned in the past as his fill-in producer, and I enjoy working with Ron immensely. Wow, is he good at what he does. But, you know, the phones are silent, and you're like, oh, my God. And then he goes to commercial break, and suddenly they explode. And it's so cool because he's just the maestro.
Yeah.
He and Gene Burns. Gene Burns can just, you know. He says something, and his approach is always so good, and they just explode. But every host has their strengths, and obviously they all get calls because they were talk show hosts.
Well, I guess I didn't have that good a control over my show because the top of the hour news would go by, and when I came on, and the phones would just be going off the wall always.
That's wonderful.
I had to go roll with the flow because – you never know what's going to happen. I've always done open talk, open line. And
see, that you're acing me out of a job here. That's why you have a producer, call screener.
Yeah, but see, now Cliff could also tell you, too, he's actually had people that called the show live and asked him to look up a phone number.
Oh, no, that doesn't surprise me. Are you kidding? Oh, no.
It's totally amazing what can happen when you're on a show. Now, see, I'm accustomed. This was a couple of small stations that I worked at where we didn't have the producer. We didn't have the money. We were just getting the thing going and making it work. There was one station in Tacoma that I worked at where after a while they did fairly well. But when I first got there, it was just me. And I did have a newsman, but he wasn't taking calls for me. He was just doing everything else in the studio. But the one big thing he was always doing is yelling at me, "You've got to break for a commercial now. Get off of there. Break for a commercial." I got so tired of breaking for commercials. Just get into a good conversation and you got to break for a commercial. Whatever. That's my little peep.
Oh, well, good.
I know. If you don't break for the commercial, you don't have the radio show either. So, oh well.
Now, one of the other failings that Cumulus has done too is the Curathon, I believe, is no longer, at least not through KGO.
That was gone before Cumulus actively took over. Mickey Luckoff, who led the station for many, many, many years, resigned. The new general manager came from the sales department, a very capable young woman named Deidre Lieberman. And she was in charge through the transition from Citadel to Cumulus. So somewhere in that transition, they elected to not do the Curathon.
You would think that'd be a huge PR thing, as a reason to keep doing it.
Well, but I'm certainly not qualified to speak to those decisions. It's also paying everyone to come in and work. We had to come in and work the Curathon. It's switching programming around. It's, it's a lot of balls in the air. It requires a tremendous amount of coordination. And some of the
they hear these things on the air, they hear things happening on the air, and they think it's so simple to do all of these things. So many of them are really, really.
Oh, my God. The Curathon took – I'm not speaking out against it. It was a wonderful event. We raised tons of money for a very worthy cause. Spider, an incredible human being. But I'm in no position to speak to why they made that decision. I just know that they made that decision, but I really can't, no inside information here, folks.
A lot of these things have a huge amount of work behind them in order to get them to come off and sound so smooth and it sounds so easy to do. And the easier it sounds to do, chances are the harder it was to put it together.
Well, and TV takes more people, and it's TV and radio.
Yeah.
And live stuff.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I'll tell you. I never got through one without screwing up something.
And that's an awful lot of what I miss nowadays is the live part of anything. You hardly do. Yeah, but the only thing you have now on live is to a certain extent some of the like American Idol or something like that has a few hours of live TV, and that's about it. You don't get much live of anything anymore.
Yeah, well,
time and that's something and that's something. As we talked about off the air, we need to relook at the FCC regulations that allows a huge conglomerate like Cumulus and others to come in and take over radio stations and take away the localness of it, which makes it also even harder for a company locally to buy a radio station, by the way, too.
Yeah, there are very few stations that are available at this particular point, but that's why I'm hoping that we can do something within the FCC, or the FCC will consider, as they did with the low-power FM thing, to come up with something. Maybe we could come up with something that's kept to a low power so we aren't – I love the KGO thing, but I would rather see a whole bunch of small stations doing their own thing for each individual community and not necessarily in the point of tying together with a network like Cumulus is doing or all the big companies are doing. So we need to have something local but make it small if necessary. So that, but you've got to be able to – make it commercialized so that the whoever's doing it can make a living at it as well. So you can't, you know, the LPFM thing is really not the answer. I was a little sad when I discovered that it's a public service station, public service type of system. Not that you can't make any money out of it, but it certainly ties your hands a little bit.
Now, Lynn, did you want to talk a little bit about the outrage that the listeners are having and the upcoming event? Or?
Well, there is a rally scheduled for 11:30 this Thursday morning in front of the station. I have mixed emotions about this. I work with Pat Thurston. She will not be there. She will be at a project at her children's school. I am not sure that I will be there because I still work for Cumulus. And as long as that relationship exists, I feel it appropriate to be respectful to my employer. That said, I think there are going to be a lot of people there.
I can imagine that because, you know, ratings down or not down, KGO had a huge listening audience, just an absolutely gargantuan listening audience.
Well, I know John Rothman's going to be there. I think Joni Greggins is going to be there. Gene Burns may be there. I don't know. And Gil Gross, I don't know. I hope Ray will be there. I think that he was interested in going. Len Tillum should be there. And a lot of angry listeners.
Basically, they've lost their source to get the information out. How are they getting the information out about this thing?
Well, there's Facebook, which has kind of exploded.
Yeah.
There are a couple sites that, you know, I'll never listen to KGO again type sites.
Yeah.
There has been a local blogger who has been really looking for a way to, you know, watch us crash and burn for a long time. So he's taking tremendous delight in talking about what's going on at the station. If you just go to Facebook and Rich Lieberman, or just Google Rich Lieberman, you can read his blog. And there's a lot of truth there, but it's not the whole story. Bernie Ward has a blog, Lion of the Left at blogspot.blogspot.com. Bernie used to work at KGO. He is no longer at the station, but he writes. And his assessment of what's going on is a very interesting perspective.
And I'll put a link to that on our show page too. By
so there is obviously a huge exodus to the internet then, making a...
Well, the people who can, who are internet savvy, are reaching out that way. You know, some of the older people who aren't as connected, or younger people who don't have access, have been calling,
mm-hmm.
and I know because they call. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to them, and sometimes they're nice and reasonable and ask what they can do, and sometimes they're really nasty, like it was my personal decision, and I was the one who executed all of these decisions, and
did it.
Nothing yeah. could be further from the truth. But I also, I mean, that just speaks to the rage people feel. You know, they want their KGO,
yeah.
and it changed.
Yeah.
Speaking of, if people would like to join the Facebook page, it's former listeners of KGO Radio News Talk 810. Currently, there's 2,483 people liking it. Go to that page and like it, and you know, let's send them a message. Plus, I was also going to ask you, Lynn, too. You know, you're talking about the new rating system. Do they take, because of KGO's reach, especially at night, do they take those numbers into consideration?
You know, I really don't know. I think that the ratings work within a specific area, you know, so that it's a level playing field. And I think it's the 1 millivolt contour from my old engineering days before I had a child. But I'm really not sure the criteria that they use. You know, did they use the 9-county major metropolitan spread? Yeah, I don't know. That would be a great question for a salesperson.
Yeah. Well, it is something that's probably in the front of the book.
Yeah, it could be.
But and it is true that they don't take out of your area, because that isn't really fair to – well, In other words, if you were to look at one of the ratings books, I guess I should explain a little bit, that they publish all this information in a book that's sent to each station that buys the into the program. And in that local area, in other words, in Eugene, for example, if you were to look at the stations in Eugene, you'll see that KGO does show up on their ratings book because they're in the market and they are there. But they don't have a place where KGO can go and look at all of the entire country and see where they're what they're doing.
Right. I don't think so. I think it's market by market.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like KGO and the other X number of stations in the nine county or whatever it is here, market is, you know, I mean, it's a level playing field.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So it's interesting though, because KGO does have the reach, but basically that listening book, that book that tells you who's listening, is being used by sales to decide where to sell the advertising to the people. And of course, you know, KGO being in San Francisco, they're not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to sell something in Des Moines, Iowa. Not saying they won't sell anything, but they don't spend a lot of time going after it.
Right.
Well, like you said, though, that the, I mean, these radio stations have come and they've taken over before, and they know that there's going to be some casualties as far as listeners are going to get upset, they're going to leave, they're going to complain, and then usually they just go away and things get back to normal. But
they have a very aggressive sales staff.
Well, and the one thing I wanted to say, the lady that called and wanted to know if in a year time when things settle down. To be honest with you, I don't think things are going to settle down in a year. It takes a little even longer than that. They've made a major, major, major change in what's going on in the radio, and I don't think it's going to be settled in a year.
It is my sincere hope, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that my colleagues are given, I believe it was 18 months to do news, to make it work. I hope that they are given every day and every opportunity to do the best radio possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, so now how many of them are actually doing things locally there? Are the, you know, is it just the overnights that are syndicated?
To the best of my knowledge at this time.
So it'll be interesting to see how long that lasts.
You know, again, I want to see them become a raging success.
Well, most of their stations have become a raging success for 3 hours in the morning, and the rest of it's all syndicated. So it's a little hard.
It is difficult to ignore their trends.
Yep. And it's not just them. I mean, we're picking on this one. All of these big conglomerates are doing exactly the same thing, by the way. It's not just them. There's four or five major outfits that are doing this, and 20 or so smaller outfits around the country that are doing the same thing. And I'm probably a little more leaning towards liking the smaller ones. At least they, you know, if you could keep them in the same time zone, that would be nice. So at least you could get time.
Yeah, but, you know, people have to ask themselves, you know, what are you looking for in radio? As the technology changes, as the internet becomes more viable, it's great as long as the internet's running, but what happens if something bad happens, like an earthquake or a flood or something? That can be problematic.
Well, that's the same thing with radio, because not many of the radio stations, believe it or not, had their own generators and things like that. So it was just as much of a problem. And if you didn't have electricity, you didn't have a portable radio, it was a little easier. I think we're going to have the same situation with the on-the-line things as we did with radio, to be honest with you. And it looks to me like it could very well. I see terrestrial radio, as Robin puts it, changing and becoming something different, but I don't see it going away. I don't see it disappearing entirely. I don't see the internet taking over entirely. We're going to have some sort of a thing there. As to what we're going to be listening to on the radio is another story.
But what I do see, and like I say, because of the regulations, the change in regulations is what allows Cumulus and others to take over a bunch of radio stations. I can see them at some point wanting to regulate like this medium that we're doing right now, either requiring licenses or some type of other type of control to limit, because right now this is free speech that we're doing. The ability to have people from around the world to come on and to be on our program and to have, you know, guests like Lynn, who, by the way, is the producer from KGO Radio, who self is plugged there. And, you know, and people call in at 646-721-9887. I've been practicing. But I can see the government stepping in and wanting to, well, they already are working on an off switch for the Internet.
Well, we've seen in other countries that off switch doesn't work real well.
But the fallout of this, and hopefully it will send a message, because, like I said earlier, that they're just going, well, people are going to complain, and they'll just dust themselves off and forget all about it and whatever. But hopefully that I'm hoping that the amount of people that are actually coming forward and saying, hey, we'll make corporate at least kind of look sideways and go, what did we just do?
Well, something's going to blow up. I look forward to something blowing up in one of these big networks and something happening, and the president or somebody will look at what's going on with the FCC and make some recommendations and change things back to
you need people to be mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore and go and change a couple laws.
Well, I understand that, except that we've got enough things to be mad as hell. Radio is not the one. At this particular time, we need to be mad as hell about the fact that we aren't working, that we aren't making...
That's for sure, and I couldn't agree with you more.
That's the first thing that we've got to do. We've got to do campaign reform. We've got to get to... I think we're going to make a huge difference. Now I'm going to sort of shift gears a little bit. We're going to be making a huge difference in this election cycle. I think big, big changes are going to be made. We're going to change president. We're going to change probably huge numbers in the Senate and in the House.
And please, a little shout-out to Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
He's the senator from Vermont who's proposed the constitutional amendment retracting the personhood of corporations. I couldn't agree with this one more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's the other thing, too, that Lynn, you and I have talked about a bit off the air, is the misinformation that's put out there. So... you know, we're relying on radio and news agencies to give us accurate information. They can swing it any way they want to, and whenever things syndicated, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, also, though, you know, here again with the Internet, you can get a hold of investigative journalists directly, like whowhatwhy.com. That's Russ Baker. Great guy. Wrote Family of Secrets about the Bush dynasty. He's been a guest on my shows many times. Fascinating guy. Also, there's Consortium News, I think, Citizen, from Public Citizen. There are all kinds of different organizations. You can go there and, you know, do your own due diligence.
Exactly.
You know,
good idea.
I hate to say this, but just as with local radio, you're saying who you can trust and who you can't trust. That's just... who you decide to trust and not trust. On the Internet, you can find the opinion of every possible thing you can think of. And, you know, is it correct? Is it not correct? Is it, you know, you got to use your own imagination and your own ideas as to who to trust and not to trust. But it's the same thing with radio. I can sit there and listen to a talk show host or somebody like that and disagree with them wholeheartedly. And that's the whole idea of, that's why I'd rather like to have more of them. The Internet come in.
And sometimes you don't know that there's an issue out there until a host, especially one like you say, like you trust, and one that has the freedom to go ahead and bring the issue out and talk about it. You don't even know the issue is even exists to go look into it.
Right. No, when I've listened to local conservative radio, I also learn things, a lot of the things I don't like so much, but I learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas when I listen to hysterical right-wing syndication, I'm a little horrified because it's if you say something over and over to people, it doesn't matter whether or not it's true. If they hear it enough times, part of their brain grabs onto it and believes it because it's familiar.
Right.
That's scary, people.
That's part of why I think radio is going to change, because the internet is so much there, and you can, you know, with just no difficulty at all, you can find all of these differing points of view, and then you can make up your mind what you want. That's why we've got to have radio broken back up so everybody has a local station. In other words, I really am very upset that these big conglomerates can own 7, 8, 9, 10 stations in a market, that we need to go back to what the original law was, or similar to it, where you could own one of each, an AM, an FM, and a television station in a market, and only have 7 overall. I don't care if they can have they. I wouldn't mind them having one in every state, or in every major community, but one, not bunches of them, so that we could have differing opinions and views, and differing programming, for that matter. We've got a little local radio station here in Cottage Grove that I swear at all the time, because they put on stuff that I can't stand. I just can't believe they can do that. But I'm all for having them be able to do that. That's their opinion, and I love the fact that they are capable of doing it. So, but it's a little FM, LPFM, and we need to get more of that type of thing on local radio.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here for just a moment. We have 20 minutes remaining in the program. There's still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. We've had quite a few guests come and go in the chat room. And, again, if you have a question that you'd like to ask Lynn, you know, unfortunately, you have to at least have a Blog Talk Radio account on Blog Talk Radio. It's a free account. Or you can hop over to our...
Wait, I've closed that other one because we were starting to cut out, and I think our bandwidth was going. So
okay.
I've closed the other chat room. There was nobody in it, and it was taking up room and changing things. So I did close
okay,
this. So the Blog Talk...
talkradio.com/KRBN. And if, like I say, unfortunately, guests cannot contribute to the chat room. I wish they changed that. But
you can do 646-721-9887. You can do much better than that. You can talk to us. Talk to us. It's free. It's easy. And all you have to do is look at your refrigerator, because if you listen to me, you have it written that on your refrigerator. So that's easy to do now.
And put it on paper before you write it on the refrigerator. Don't use a Sharpie.
Well, it depends.
No, you want it on the Sharpie. You want it on a Sharpie. You just put it right on the front of the refrigerator. Unless, of course, you have a black refrigerator, and it's not going to accomplish anything.
All right, now.
And if we create any divorces over this, it's not our fault.
Oh, God. Now, Ray Taliaferro used to say he had the most intelligent audience in radio.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I think a lot of people, especially politicians, have this tendency to underestimate the intelligence of the American public, and I think they're going to learn that's not a good idea. You better.
Well, only if we can work together without, you know, vying for control and graft and accomplish something, because otherwise, you know. Unless we can stand together as individuals, we're pretty well not much of a threat.
Well, that's the thing. See, that's my opinion. That's exactly what we've got as a problem right now. Until we all have to get together and work on a common problem, we all sit on our dead fat butts and just sit back and somebody else will do it. Or it's okay. I don't have any problem with it. I'm making a decent amount of money in this and that. But things are happening. And things
apparently
are,
so.
And we're all going to, you know, people are rising up. That's why I think we're going to have a huge electorate turnout this year or this next year just for everything. And that's going to make a huge change. I personally, here's my prediction, we'll say, I think we're going to change the entire thing over to all Republican. Now, that can be just as bad as when it was all Democratic, because everybody has the same opinion. We've got to come up with a third party or a third opinion or something, but we've got to come up with some way that you don't just have everybody on the same page and they can talk.
Well, until we get rid of the power of the lobbyists and the control of Big Pharma and other people.
Well, we've got to start small. And the first thing to do is campaign reform. I believe we need to make the campaign available, campaign finance available, so that people who are not millionaires can get into things. And
I'll bet you $10,000.
What? Exactly.
Bad Robin.
And one of the things that we need to do is make, I know this is going to sound way bad to you and me and everybody else, but we're going to have to make the broadcast people available to the candidates. So this idea of candidate forums has been very popular, and it's proven to be much more informative than people like to think. So I think every network should have to donate a specific amount of time.
Isn't that the fairness doctrine?
Well, no, wait a minute. I said donate, and I don't mean donate really.
No, but if...
Put commercials in it. But no, not the fairness doctrine. Fairness means if you give it to one person, you have to give it to the other. But in this particular case, I'm talking about they have to give it to everybody at one time. So in other words,
have
10 or 12 or 14, whatever, forums a year, the year in front of the election.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has to participate. Every network has to give like two of them of a couple hours each.
Radio is really hard with three people talking at once. Can you imagine what it would be like with 14?
Exactly. Actually, I think what they should do, they should get Simon Cowell to host one, because I could just
see
it.
Oh, my God, please.
That was the most lamest answer that I've ever heard coming out of a politician.
Oh, my God. I happen to kind of like Simon, but, oh, my God, I wasn't ready for that, Ross.
The point is, we just need to have a way for people to be able to run and be heard nationwide for less money. Because I don't want all these millionaires. I mean, everybody has to be a millionaire in order to run for office. And I don't want that to happen. We need to have more people in there capable of running a boss. We've got a lot of people running for office, but we're not hearing from them, folks, ready or not. And I understand that this could be a problem. We could have a whole lot of people in there, and it could be, you know, much more difficult for the people running the debates and such things. I hate to call them debates because they're really not. This just informative talks that are being hosted by somebody. But we need to have some way of getting the information out of people who don't have that huge amount of money, and then we need to get a whole changeover in all of the offices for people. And then I would venture to put a term limits. I don't want this business of the senator going in there and staying there for 500 years and you know.
No, but term reviews.
I'm getting
somebody, if you get somebody really good and they're really good at what they're doing and they're not, you know, a badass.
No. I don't know how good they are, because to you, he may be great. To me, he may suck.
That's true.
So consequently, if we can limit the whole problem by just having them in there for one term, be it a two-year, four-year, six-year term, but one term, that's it. And so if you know when you're going in that you're only going in for one term, you don't have to spend any money. Any time trying to raise money to be reelected, so you can spend your time actually reading the bill instead of passing it on and saying, "Well, I don't know what it said," you know.
Oh my God, you think?
But you know, this is what we're hiring these people for. And ready or not, when we put them in there and when you elect them, we're hiring them. That's what we're doing.
Well, also, like you pointed out, the 28th Amendment. Why is it Martha Stewart had to go to jail and Nancy Pelosi gets away with it?
Yeah, really. I mean, not that I don't like news.
Now you're off on a whole different tangent, because I am dead against the stock market. So we need to get rid of the stock market entirely.
Well, that's not an easy thing.
I know that. None of this is easy.
No.
Any of it was easy, but that's why we got to start. That's why we got to start at one simple little place. Campaign finance reform is where you start, because you've got to get the ability for other people to have an opinion to out that opinion. So that's the only place you start. Then once you start getting people in there who have opinions and who have thoughts and are not millionaires and actually know what the price of a loaf of bread is, and even know what a loaf of bread is, for Christ's sakes. But the simple fact is, then we got to start changing all of the other stuff.
So I think you've just hit on one of the cornerstones of the Occupy movement.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Then we've got to get in and organize them then, because they're not there, as I've seen. The ones that I see are all more interested in having their college tuition paid and having to be able to sleep in a tent in the park so they don't have to pay rent and on and on. We've got to, you know, I don't mind that. That's not my problem. The problem I have is they aren't doing anything for it. They're just doing it. So
yeah.
if we could have these all these people who are interested in sleeping in the park out there sweeping the streets or doing something in return for that, that's fine. But I don't think this should be a way to just open it up for people to be lazy.
I think the tent, the Occupy tent camping was to get people's attention, and I think it did.
Unfortunately, it was a bad thing, I think. I mean, I've got a real bad taste in my mouth over it. I haven't heard much of anybody, a couple of people that have good ideas of what could be done. But most of the time, everyone I hear talking about it is more interested in, well, all these bad people who have money. I want to get rid of all of these people who have money and give it to the people who are poor. This is communism. This is socialism. I don't want that.
Okay. Well, at least that's not what I hear.
Well, we're not in the same place. You're right. Well, I'm sure that what you're hearing down there is a little different than what's up here. But I drive by every day when I go, well, every time I go to the doctor, I drive by this park in Eugene where it's horrible. They've got tents everywhere. They've had to put up a fence around it. They're dirty. They're not cleaning things up after themselves. They're not taking care of things. They're not. And when you go talk to them, all they say is, well, you know, I don't have any money and somebody else does and I want some.
Well,
hey, I want to jump in here. Oh, go ahead, Lynn, then.
No, please.
Then I'll jump in. Okay, I just wanted to, a couple of things. One, there's 13 minutes remaining in the program, still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. Our special guest is Lynn Sloan, talk show host, producer from KGO Radio. And there's chat going on the Facebook page of the former listeners of KGO News Talk 810. And one of them, I think he brought up a good point. He's wondering if this move by Cumulus is actually a move to squelch freedom of speech. What's
your
opinion on that?
Wow. I mean, it could be. I mean, you can't rule it out based on who they are. But, I mean, if you're asking me if that's what I believe, one of the things I've learned in my 4 years working at KGO and additional life experience is don't pretend you know when you don't know.
Well, I have to chime in here and say I think they can work until hell freezes over, and they're not going to do that because the American people have too many outlets now with the Internet and the different parts of the Internet with different – I mean, you can go out and start your own little newspaper. Look at this. This has happened time and time again in our history. You're not going to squelch free speech. They can work real hard at it if they want to. But
now, wait a minute. You've heard about the battlefield bill, and you've heard about the 800-plus FEMA camps. We've been talking about this. I mean, until Ray left, he was talking about it. Pat's been talking about it. They've just passed a bill empowering our military to lock up dissidents without due process.
And I think that was hidden under an education bill, if I remember right.
Well, see, again, that's one of the things, again, we start with campaign finance reform, but that's one of the things that we've got to get in there and do is we've got to get rid of all of this hidden stuff. Everything has to be out in the public. Everything has to be published. Everything, you know.
Transparency.
That's what's scaring them, Cliff, is that when you look at the power of the Occupy movement nationwide and in a sense worldwide, the government does not want the people, as much as they say, they do not want the people to get involved. That's why FEMA has provisions in it to declare martial law. And
exactly.
Like you just said.
And they're all ramped up. They've got every state in the union, Cliff. They've got at McCord, Fort Lewis, they've got structures ready to use as detainment facilities.
Well, I'm not going to get into that because I know why they're there, but
okay.
And that wasn't it. But anyway, the point is
no, they've recently been empowered to use them for this.
Well, see, again, that's why we've got to do something about this. This Homeland Security thing is good and it's bad. And to open it up, and we've had lots of discussions. I've seen discussions on C-SPAN and everywhere else about how this is, you know, you need to have some sort of opening the doorways for Homeland Security. But on the same token, we've gone perhaps too far. I don't know. But the point is, you have to start somewhere. And
I agree.
And starting, you know, we're hitting all these different points, and I agree with most of them, but you have to start somewhere. And so the first thing you do is you have to change the people in government. And you have to change them with people who have more of an idea of what the world is actually like. And so, again, we've got to do campaign finance reform. I'm going to harp on this. And one of the things, of course, you, Lynn, haven't heard this. I've been advocating that all laws have to expire every 5 years. All laws. All.
I don't have a problem with this one. I think we have a lot of BS laws. Ooh.
And I agree. And if you now, that doesn't mean that you can't go in immediately and reinstate them by a vote.
I hear what you're saying, but at least it gets some of the. There are so many that should be off the books, but nobody has
thousands
the time.
And thousands and thousands of things that need to be off the books.
But, you know, we might be resetting our civilization anyway. Though I'm voting for the asteroids.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I just saw a movie last night that's called Another World. And
I think we may be headed there, brother.
And the all of a sudden, just outside of our atmosphere, shows up another Earth, another actual planet with the moon and everything.
Yeah.
And this particular movie didn't go anywhere near where we're talking about or do anything redeeming. It was a stupid, dumb movie, but but it's the thought is there. So you're right. Maybe something's going to happen. But then.
Well, yeah. The other thing, let me throw out there too. Again, we had 8 minutes remaining. One thing that Cliff and I was talking before the program, you know, we talk about the way they mislead things. There is a news broadcast where the National Transportation Safety Board wants to get rid of all communication devices while you're driving, including hands-free, and so they're trying to spin the news any way they can do it. Well, anyways, this accident involved a semi, which slowed down for construction, a teenager, 19 years old, who was texting, who plowed into the semi, and two school buses who plowed into the truck, which basically rolled that pickup up into a ball and put it on top of the semi, and the first bus is sitting literally on top of the cab of the semi. Now, they're blaming it all on the teenager texting. Well, the thing is, the teenager may not have seen the truck slowing down, but the two school buses behind it has no excuses, except for the fact that, according to the article, both of them had bad brakes. But again, they're saying this is an example of why we need to change the law and make it so.
Well, I have to think that anything but hands-free connection with a GPS or a cell phone. I mean, I rented a car recently and it had Sirius radio, and I've never experienced that before. I could have easily piled us up many times, but fortunately the kids were with me and they just dealt with it. But no, your hands have to be free. Driving is complicated enough.
You know, I am going along with you to a certain extent, but you know, you can't make laws on that kind of thought.
Well, I agree. It's a nanny law. Well, no, Cliff, you're right.
The simple fact is I remember once driving from one place to another, and I dropped something on the floor that was laying on the seat, and I reached over to get it, and my head was down below the dashboard. I couldn't see where I was going, and I could have easily had a major accident right then and there, and I wasn't doing anything out of the usual. But you know, we've got to, at some point, train drivers or talk to drivers, or we've got to, at some point, start relying on human beings to have enough sense to be able to do things.
I agree. How do you do that? We're destroying our education.
You just simply have to do it. You can't legislate things. You can't legislate morality. There are things you cannot make laws for, and you just simply have to rely on people to do it. One of the things is, why are we allowing booze? Why haven't we gone into prohibition again? Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people a year die on the highway because of that. And
yeah,
just let it happen.
Do you know what the lobbyists do? Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, it's all lobbied. I mean, the alcohol lobby?
Oh, I understand. I know how and what. But the
and
point
also
is
keeping drugs from being legal because, you know.
Again, it's back to us as human beings. It's back to us as the general populace for sitting on our dead ass and saying, it's not my problem.
Okay, but listen, if you're not going to make texting and that cell phone behavior illegal, you can't really touch booze either, and you ought to legalize drugs. make it all legal, take the black market component out of it, tax it, get us out of debt. And, you know, some people are going to kill themselves. They're going to do it one way or another. You know, it's very sad.
That's very
my point on this picture is that, again, they're trying to spin the news a certain way. And this is on CNN. And then the comments were moderated. So the only comments that from people were, of course, pointing the thing. But if you step back and looked at the whole picture of what happened, and plus think of the fact, okay, this is one incident. Like, for example, they also want to they just recently banned truck drivers from using handheld phones, and they really want to push to ban hands-free. Well, there are an estimated 15.5 million trucks on the road, and last year, 4,000 accidents. Now, if you look at percentage-wise,
it's nothing.
I mean, I'm sorry, it's nothing. But you're
right. They're trying to mess with the truckers. You know, on this one, Dr. Bill was so right on. Kill carb.
Yeah.
Sorry, but, you know, it's very hard being a long-distance driver these days, and it used to be an occupation to which I kind of aspired.
It used to be fun.
We're getting back to, we've got to get to the point where we respect the human beings, where we respect the populace and allow them to do what they're going to do, because we're not going to get them to stop. As, again, you can legislate every little thing you want to. It's not going to make that much difference. You can legislate the fact that you can't have a cell phone in your truck, but that's not going to stop people from carrying the cell phone.
No, exactly.
Truck.
But so better to get off your butt and go out and meet people.
It's all it's going to do is make them more dangerous, because they're going to keep trying to hide it. Mm-hmm. So,
here real quick, and I also double as the timekeeper. We got 3 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887. Lynn, do you have any final word you'd like to pass on?
Gee, not really. There is an alleged rally outside of KGO on this Thursday at 11:30 a.m. I probably am not going to be there.
I saw a movie last night called Alleged, too.
Ah, see, we're such on the same movie. It's been a pleasure being with you. You know, it's nice to have things to talk about. This is why I'm a talk show producer. I like talking to people about stuff.
Oh, we got lots of stuff to talk about. We haven't even tapped into it.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on the show again, and I'm going to put out an invitation for you to come back again in the future.
Thank you,
and if people out there, if you're listening to the program on the archives, again, feel free to send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. If the comments are respectful, well, we'll go ahead and forward them on the wind.
Maybe even if they're not.
Even if they're not, we'll do it. We don't care.
Feel free to write us and follow us on Facebook, and we'll put a link to other items that we talked about on the show on our on both the Blog Talk Radio and on the KRBN Radio homepage. And
don't forget, it's Monday. We're going to be back here doing the same thing, same time. Well, Monday at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock Pacific time. So join us then. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, send us an email. Again, thank you, Lynn, and thank you, everybody that's been in the chat room. We definitely appreciate you stopping by, and hope you'll check us out again.
Have a good day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.